Would you repeat the prayer of guidance? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with glad hearts what you say to us today. I'll be reading from the Pew Bible, page 685. Isaiah 55, 1, 2, and 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine, milk, without money and without price. Why do you send your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
It's a joy to be with you this morning. It's a joy to be here, and, well, you know, I kind of miss Bob's humor. Do you all? I hope Bob and family are having a good time today. Let me share with you that that it is such a joy. This text, though, has been in my heart for a long time, and I want you to kind of sit with me today and think about what God is calling you to do. I hope that as it begins, I tell you my story, that you'll understand how God calls us in very special ways. I've spent the last 48 years of my life trying to understand a kind of hunger that has no name. I have started a book on calling. I have not finished it and will probably never finish it. But trying to come to an understanding of what in the world calling is all about. I started the book when I did some research on Tangier Island. Do you all know where Tangier is? 30 people have come off of that little teeny island to become Methodist preachers. 30. That's a lot. And I wanted to see what in the world it was. I think we all struggle with what we're supposed to do in life and what God is calling us to do. I saw clips of Billy Graham's funeral not long ago. What a wonderful life he lived. His son said, when he got to heaven, that God said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I saw a cartoon the next day saying that when Billy Graham got there, there were millions of people standing behind St. Peter welcoming Billy Graham to heaven, because Billy Graham had been the source of why many of them were there. In a day when politicians can't be trusted, and this is not a political speech, folks, news media is called fake news, and even movie stars reach out for something they can't find by accusing others of sexual misconduct. We live in a world where a 19-year-old kills 17 people in 10 minutes. We live in a world where, for some reason, we think we should have guns, and some think we should not have guns. We live in a world where we build bigger and bigger and bigger weapons because another country might have weapons and get the upper hand. I guess my question to you today is, what in the world are we hungering for? I read recently an article by Samuel Wells about the hunger that no meal satisfies. Now, I'm not a child's movie lover, and when I babysit, I sometimes get subjected to movies that go on and on and on and on. Have you ever seen the movie 101 Dalmatians?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pongo and Perdita, and their 15 puppies are all watching TV, waiting for the right moment to escape from the wicked Cruella de Vil. One of the puppies, Rolly, despite being captivated by the film, says, "I'm hungry, Mother, I'm hungry." Perdita says, "Now, Rolly, you just had your dinner." Rolly insists, "But I am still hungry. I'm so hungry I could eat," and then he stutters a little bit, and he says, "An elephant." Well, I have to tell you, folks, if that puppy could eat a whole elephant, he's a hungry puppy. And I wonder if you've ever felt that way. Have you ever realized that there's something gnawing at you? Well, I want you to know that there's two kinds of hunger. There's the hunger that has a name. Then there's the hunger when you know what you want, but you can't have it or you can't get it. You were interviewed for a job maybe and you didn't get the job. Maybe you long to have a baby and you can't have the baby. Maybe your family just has things within it that you just can't have. You just want something in your life to go right for a change, but people keep letting you down. This kind of hunger will be all-consuming, transforming your temper, your relationships, your patience, your whole character changes. They say we are what we eat. I have a favorite pizza place in Mechanicsville. That's where my grandchildren are. And they love pizza. The motto for this restaurant is, "You are what you eat, so eat pizza." We're also capable of coming contorted in the shape that we hunger for. Now, there's a kind of thing here that we need to deal with. There's a kind of hunger. It's a hunger that lingers deep, disturbingly in the bottom of our soul, but it doesn't have a name. Now, Shauna, you know, you understand this. Shauna has been dealing with this hunger for a long time. Shauna, I've been dealing with it for 48 years. You got a ways to go. There is simply no solution to it. No hot meal, no job title, no box office ticket will satisfy it. We all have a call story. And I want to tell you that my call story fits this problem to a T. I had to have a degree in chemistry, and I had a good job as a chemist for Kelly Springfield Tire and Rubber Company in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I worked there for 3 years when I decided that I had to do something else. That was not my calling in life. I told my plant manager that God was calling me to be a pastor. He laughed at me and he said, "That's the sneakiest way I ever heard of getting a raise." I told him I didn't want a raise. He said, "What are you going to be making as a pastor?" I told him $6,000, and that's the truth. I need to tell you, Shauna, your starting salary is not $6,000. He laughed at me, folks. I was making 15 times that amount of money as a chemist. And he said, "Why in the world would you want to go to Duke? And why in the world would you want to purposely slow your income down that much?" Well, I applied to Duke. And I applied to Duke 2 weeks after, 2 weeks after the deadline for graduate school. And you know what? 3 days later, I got accepted. Now, nothing in the 1970s moved that fast. But I couldn't get out of not going to Duke, not going to seminary, not going to graduate school, even though I tried. The inner hunger that I had had to be satisfied, and working for a lot of money was not the way that I found it. Now, I want to tell you, after 48 years, I still have that hunger. I still long to help people. I still long to be in active ministry. And within two months, I'm going to retire. But I already have a full-time job, and I'm already doing part of that job right now at the Methodist Foundation, where I'll be working with local churches. Now, my story is not a lot different than yours. Is there an aching in your soul to do something more than you're doing? It may not be ordained ministry. but it very easily might be a hunger to help someone or work on a project to help others. Now, we're building Mission Central, and you probably heard a lot about that. Mission Central is a gigantic building, 4,200 square feet, where we will have enough clothing and enough medical supplies for any need. Last year alone, we took care of 3,000 children and gave away 50,000 diapers. By the way, if you ever go to the store and they have diapers on sale, buy some and give them to us, will you? We always need diapers. But this ministry started with a lady by the name of Artie Frederick. And Artie Frederick, 28 years ago, started helping children. Absolutely no cost, absolutely no questions. Just if you need something for your child, we want to take care of that. Well, today, she and a whole crew of people work almost every day to try to take care of these people who have needs. Now, many of you know Bob Talbot, and Bob Talbot is associate pastor at Asbury. Bob Talbot is also in charge of the work crews to get this building finished. He and crews work up there when it's cold, when it's hot. They give themselves in many, many, many different ways. And I know that you all go on work teams all over the country and all even out of the country. Now, what would make you give up a week of your vacation, Rodney, to go put a roof on a house? Can you all see Rodney carrying shingles up on a roof? You did get up on a roof, didn't you, Rodney? I thought you might. Can you imagine people giving of themselves to the point that they take their own vacation to go help somebody else? I think we all know what this hunger feels like. We all know what it feels like to devour a meal when we've been waiting for hours. The first kind of hunger we're familiar with, but the second kind of hunger is more difficult. How do you describe what it feels like to realize that you haven't found what you're looking for? Isaiah 55 is precisely about these two kinds of hunger and the differences between them. For 50 years in the Babylonian exile, Israel was focused on this first kind of hunger. They wanted to go home. Home was 1,000 miles away. They wanted to go back to the land of David and Solomon. Isaiah marks a transition, though, to this second kind of hunger. And hang on here, because Israel did go home from Babylon. Israel did return to the promised land. Jerusalem was restored. The temple was rebuilt. The walls were raised again. But when all of this was done, Israel was still hungry. Remember the little Dalmatian saying, "Mother, I'm hungry"? Now, Israel, you just had your dinner, but I'm still hungry. I could eat a whole elephant. Going home wasn't all that Israel wanted. Now, why do you spend money, the text says, for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? These are the resonant words of Israel to Israel. It's a question that points out the difference between the hunger that has a name and the hunger that has no name. Working out the difference between the two is the key to ministry and mission. Right now, I'm teaching pastors or lay servants how to preach. And one of the things that I tell them is write down on a 3x5 card one sentence that says what your whole sermon says. I just gave it to you all. Working out the difference between the two kinds of hunger is the key to ministry and mission. When I accepted God's call on my life, I felt the hunger that has no name. I still feel that hunger that has no name. Billy Graham, all of his life, felt that hunger that has no name. I want to know, is there hunger in your life? This hunger has nothing to do with the food that we eat. It has everything to do with a calling, a direction that God has placed on your life so that you will know what He wants from each of us. We often think of practical Christianity as striving to meet the hunger that has a name. For the starving, there's food. For the thirsty, there's water. For the naked, there's clothing. For the sick, there's medicine. All of which is good and right and true. People want and need, though, more than that. Almost always what they want is something no one can give them. If they assume someone can give it to them, they generally leave it behind them, a trail of wreckage. They often feel like they have failed. But if they keep on searching and searching and searching, they have to get to the nitty-gritty of what is it that God wants me to do? Christianity isn't simply satisfying people's hunger. It's a huge gamble on the hunch that what people are really hungry for is something they don't know the name of and won't initially recognize it if they found it. And this is where the rubber meets the road in this sermon. The answer to all of this has been staring at us for thousands of years. What is this extraordinary food? It's the wondrous truth that there's something even deeper, even more long-lasting, even more insatiable than hunger. And that's God's hunger for us. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And Isaiah tells us all of this. God's hunger is greater than our hunger. But God knows what the hunger is for. It's for us. And discovering that is for us is like discovering the realization that together we can make something beautiful, that we could make something beautiful that we could not make alone. That there's a place for all sizes and all shapes and all energies. It's bigger than the whole elephant. Now the question is, are you hungry? I'm proud of you. You got out of bed early this morning. And I got out of bed probably earlier than you did. And Shauna, you probably got out of bed earlier than any of us. But folks, there's something that gets you out of bed and something that calls you to come here. And that something is what we're finding out today. Does your hunger have a name? Like the yearning for a job or a partner or a home, maybe it's just a new start. Or is your hunger deeper, and is it more insatiable than that? Isaiah says, eat what is good, delight yourself in rich food, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's free, but it's not cheap. It's priceless, but it's for everyone. If you're hungry, if you're deeply, deeply hungry, hear the good news. The new good news that you've been waiting for all of this time. And I want to tell you, it can be summed up in just two little short sentences. God is hungry, and God's hungry for you. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for Verona United Methodist Church. I thank you for all these folks this morning who got up so early. And Lord, we all have this hunger. We all have this hunger, and we're searching. What is it that you want from us? And today, Lord, we have discovered that you want us. And Lord, that makes us feel better. That makes us want to go serve better. That makes us want to continue to go out into the world. So, Lord, we give you our lives as we search for this hunger. Amen.
Let us pray. Go forth in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.